new Earning Their Stripes with a special guest. This is Eli Sussman hosting you through the first ETS of 2020. I'm being joined by a former first-round draft pick, the 2019 Most Valuable Player for the High A Jupiter Hammerheads, the reigning Marlins Ping Pong Tournament champ, and arguably the best left-handed pitching prospect in the Fish Farm system. It's Braxton Garrett. How's it going, champ? Thanks for joining the show.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm doing great.
Just to start off, I think everybody's wondering what this offseason has been like for you. Last year, 106 and two-thirds innings pitched. You finished up with your debut at AA Jacksonville in late August. Then came down to South Florida in September for the Instructional League and to claim that Jupiter MVP award. From what I can tell, you've stayed in South Florida for part of the winter, right? So what can you tell us about the training that you've done since last season ended?
Okay, so yeah, I have a place of my own now in Palm Beach Gardens. I've just grown to absolutely love this place, man. The weather in South Florida is incredible. And the gym that I work out at is called Cressy Sports Performance, and I love it there. Me and Eric Cressy go way back since I played Team USA. So a lot of pro guys go there. So I've been working really hard. I'm really looking forward to next season. Or this season coming up
in
about a month.
Yeah, after the new year starts, we start calling it this season. That's where
I know.
We're getting real close. And so how much is that a balance between, working out and getting stronger, just usual gym stuff versus your throwing? Like, how far along are you in terms of actually stretching out the arm for a workload for 2020?
I'm in the middle of it. There's a happy medium between, the weight room and throwing as well. So, that's monitored as well by the guys who I work with. And, right now I'm really trying to ramp up for the season. Spring training is a month. So, as I am still lifting weights, but I'm starting to deload just a little bit since we're getting close.
Gotcha. And it must have been one of the highlights for you last spring during the ping pong tournament, which was just a big event throughout all of Marlins camp, both on the minor league side and the major league side.
Yeah.
And you surprised a lot of people to take that championship. How much ping pong do you play over the offseason? Or are you just going to try to figure it all out once you get to the table again? Or have you actually been training for it?
I'll give you a little insight, actually. I was talking to BJ Lopez, a catcher who I worked with a little bit this past year. He was asking about the tournament coming up, and I told him, I was like, I'm not going to play. I haven't played all offseason. I'm not going to play until spring training. So I told him if he really wanted to win it, it might be his year. But I've played BJ many times. I don't think he's got a chance. But as you asked, I've been playing ping pong for a long time, really since I was probably 9 or 10. So you can imagine I was really excited for the tournament. It's just kind of been a hidden talent of mine my whole life. My friends from elementary school and middle school could tell you that I played ping pong all the time. So I love it.
Well, I'm really glad you brought up BJ, because I was going to ask specifically about him and Nick Fortes, because last year you had that great season with Jupiter. You performed pretty well. But of course, all that success is a combination between you and whoever you're throwing to behind the plate on that day. And I feel that catchers can be really underrated, by the general public, because
absolutely,
we don't have a great idea of, we can't really tell exactly how much input they're having in that whole situation. The guys you threw to most often last year were BJ and then Nick Fortes. And and actually, BJ already got invited to Major League camp this year. So congrats to him. So I wanted just to get a better insight into those two guys in particular, because just the average one of us watching from far away, especially if we're not at the ballpark, it's so hard to tell what kind of impact those guys have. With BJ and with Nick, could you just give us a quick intro into who they are as players and as teammates?
So as you said, yeah, the catcher position is really underrated, especially just from the average fan, because they just don't know how important the catcher is to us. Because they win a strike sometimes. They will be balls out of the zone that they sneak in there and make it look pretty for us. you know, obviously every time that ever happens, we just hype them up and, you know, we love that. And also, I mean, both of those guys are fantastic behind the plate and we communicate really well. So, and as teammates, I mean, they're as good as they get. I probably won't be the first to say this, but Nick is just the nicest guy ever. So you can't get a mean thing to come out of his mouth. And BJ is just absolutely hilarious. So two guys that I really enjoy.
We're talking with Braxton Garrett here on Earning Their Stripes. Kind of on a related note to that, I'm sure you've seen that there are some steps being taken, not immediately, but probably in the near future, to introducing robo umpires to minor league baseball someday, maybe even major league baseball, having an automatic strike zone. And frame pitches could be a pretty important part of the catcher's job. It's an important part of your job to, you know, get called strikes on those borderline pitches. I mean, as far as I know, I guess you haven't pitched in a live game with an automatic strike zone yet. But I still want to get your opinion on that as a pitcher, whether you think that would help you or hurt you, or whether just generally you think that's good or bad development for baseball.
To be honest with you, I don't think much about it. You know, obviously I see it on Twitter and stuff like that. I saw they did it in the Arizona Fall League.
Right.
And obviously you see all the bad times where it looked like it may have been wrong and they don't show all the good. So, you know, I don't really care. You know, I'm still going to have to do my job and it'll be the same thing to me. I'll just have to adjust and figure out, you know, how to play the game with the robo umps, I guess. I'm just a kind of go with the flow guy.
Gotcha. One other teammate I wanted to touch on is your fellow left-hander, Will Stewart. He was the very first guest that we had on this particular show last April, right when he was starting his season with the Hammerheads. He's from Alabama, just like you, and he remembers you from back in high school. He said you were a big shot even back then, that his team hated to face your team because they hated to face you. But now that he has been your teammate, he admits he was all wrong about you. He really likes you now. Do you have?
Yeah, and I rub it in his face too.
Do you have any memories of Will? Did you even notice him back then, or at least did you remember facing a Hazel Green High School back in the day?
Absolutely. I remember facing Will. It was my junior year, his senior year.
Right.
Unfortunately, well, this is going to kind of ruin my story, but he didn't pitch ever against us. But I do remember them speaking of Will, how he was a good lefty. But like I said, we just didn't face him. And also, he texted me or DM'd me or something after I got drafted and congratulated me, which was a really nice thing because I didn't know him personally.
Right.
But it's funny when I, you know, we talked to other teammates and stuff. I hit a home run against his high school. Like the first game of the season, I always tell people it was off of Will, but it wasn't. and then he just has to keep going on about how it wasn't off of him. So that's always a good time.
Yeah. I wanted to get more information about that sweet baby of yours, that curveball that has been like a really defining strength of your game dating all the way back to when you were a draft prospect. People got a good look at it this year now that you moved up to Jupiter, better video quality. People are really excited about that pitch. It's always jumped out as being a big difference maker for you, something that you could see in the right situation. You get pretty much anybody out with it if you put it in the right spot. And could you just take us all the way back to when you learned it originally from your dad and just what you think is the secret that makes it all so successful for you? Because so many pitchers throw curveballs, but not all of them have the same success that you have with it.
Sure. So I give all, you know, obviously I developed it myself, but I give all the teaching credit to my dad. He was in the same exact grip since I was 12 years old. And at the time, there was all this controversy around, you know, throwing the brick and ball at that age. And so I was just taught to never, you know, snap my wrist or manipulate my wrist. So at that time, it was really just a big 12-6 curveball. As I started to get older and develop it, you know, I can kind of turn it into, you know, an 11-5 or a 12-6, or even sometimes I threw it hard to look like a slider. So what I tell people, my only tip, I mean, I've been throwing it for so long, it's really just a feel thing. But I tell my roommate Jordan, what I think about is just staying closed as long as I can. And the only thing I think about with my hand is keeping a stiff wrist as soon as I take my hand out of the glove. So that's really the main thing. I keep my as stiff as I can. Come to releasing it, that's when the wrist really starts moving. So, like I said, it's more of a feel thing. But when I throw the guys in the ass, that's what I tell them.
Well, now that you're coming off this season at the high A level, you faced a lot of competition that was older than you. I mean, how have you made any adjustments with that pitch? Do you find that it's still as effective as it always been? Is the grip still the same as how you originally learned it? And are you using it like in the same situations that you always have? Do you throw it as often overall? Or do you feel that you have to now mix in more pitches in order to handle these really advanced hitters?
I definitely cannot throw it as often as I did. I mean, obviously, especially as I did in high school, because it was just kind of an overpowering pitch then. But now, you know, people use the term "get me over curveball." You know, me and my roommate always joke about it. We're like, I don't know, I'm not comfortable throwing a "get me over curveball" because every time I do, I think it gets hit out of the park. There, it seems that way.
Right.
So, I definitely have to pick and choose when I use it, but also, you know, I know in the back of my head it's a really good pitch, and if I throw, you know, just a nasty breaker, it may not be exactly where I wanted it, but it, you know, a lot of the times it's still successful. So it's a big trust and big feel pitch.
Gotcha. One more question for you, and this is something that actually applies to both you and to your roommate Jordan Holloway, because there's been so much turnover in the Marlins organization the past few years with the new ownership coming in for the team, new players,
absolutely,
new coaches, new philosophies and all that. And I mean, Jordan was drafted in 2014, you in 2016, but you guys are kind of exceptions where a lot of these other elite level prospects that are in the organization right now, they're new, you know, they didn't know what things used to be like. They don't know what the difference has been compared to the old regime. And so you and Jordan have survived the transition because you've performed really well and shown
ability. That's funny you say that we were talking about that the other day, because, you know, we were talking about how it feels like we've been playing for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking about that with one of my friends who's been released since that time, who played together. He was like, dude, you and Jordan are one of the very few who are still, you know, there. It's like almost everyone's gone. So it's a big accomplishment, really.
Yeah, well, so we're now at a point where, I mean, you look around the organization now, anybody that's objective about it says this is one of the deeper systems in all of baseball in terms of having great players at almost every position. I'm wondering what differences you think you've noticed since you were drafted compared to now. Like, why do you think the Marlins, as they're set up right now, could be in a situation to be consistently competitive moving forward in terms of developing players? Is there anything different that you feel has happened while you've been in the organization compared to how it used to be?
To be honest with you, I love where we're going right now. You know, I feel the big difference is with the, you know, the new Marlins regime compared to the other. You know, we bring in Gary Dembo and we bring in his guys a lot from the Yankees, and, you know, that's, you know, we don't love the Yankees, we're the Marlins, but they're winners, and they're bringing this winning attitude to the clubhouse, and it spreads. The discipline is up, and it's, you know, that's just how I was raised, so I'm very comfortable to it. So I love it. I'm just really happy with where the organization is going right now. And obviously you guys can tell too, the prospects that we have, it's incredible. I got guys that I'm competing hard with. I mean, we have pitchers on deck. It's crazy.
Right. Very well said. Well said. We used to be at a point where, like, you appreciated some of the guys that were at major league level a couple of years ago, but there was always this fear that, you know, what happens if those guys get hurt? If those guys move on, there was no understudy. There's no like next wave of talent coming. And now it's crazy. There's wave after wave. There's some guys that are trying to break through to the majors this spring. And then there are guys like right behind them. Like in terms of you are probably going to head to Double A Jacksonville. And I mean, you perform well. And all of a sudden you're going to head up there pretty soon as well. It's going to be
right
where it's all just like based on competition and performance at this point, instead of just relying
on
there. Yeah. Having alternatives and all that.
Absolutely. I'm a big believer in competition brings out the best in everybody. So, you know, having, you know, such good the pitching prospects that we have, it's so motivating. And, you know, at the same time, I have an advantage. I'm watching these guys. I got to watch Edward Cabrera pitch this year in high A. Are you kidding me? That was a pleasure. And, you know, then I go up to double A, get to spend some time with Sixto. And obviously I was with Trevor all year. I mean, come on. Those guys are studs.
Exactly. Well said. Braxton Garrett, Marlins left-handed pitcher, less than 1 month till the start of spring training, less than 3 months till minor league opening day, and we're going to be really excited to follow you every step of the way. It was a great 2019 season for you. 2020 could be even better. Thanks a lot, Braxton, and best of luck here in 2020.
Thank you very much for having me.